A good player. Certainly can make all the throws. They have a variety of offensive plays and concepts, play action game, the drop back game, empty game, some moving pocket plays, and as well as handling the line of scrimmage responsibilities, making their checks. And this is a team that checking decent number of plays at the line. So all the things that he's involved in, he carries a lot of responsibility with the team, and they're still one of the top offensive teams in the league. Got to be in the top, whatever it is, four or five, rushing, passing, everything else. So he runs the show, and he's, like I said, has a lot of responsibilities, and does a good job with it.
Patriots coach Bill Belichick on Jared Goff and the LA Rams. We're now joined by Jeff Howe. Jeff Howe of The Athletic, brought to you by Rockland Federal Credit Union. Times have been tough. Rockland Federal Credit Union can help with the products you need, a free on-demand credit monitoring tool, and the personal service you deserve. Visit rfcu.com today. Rockland Federal Credit Union, our legacy, our future. Jeff Howe joining us now on Patriots Preview, driven by your New England Honda dealers. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, we meet again.
We do meet again, just days after we met last time. Jeff, let's talk about the tight end situation for the Patriots. Ryan Izzo to IR, which means the Patriots needed a tight end, and that tight end will be Devin Asiasi. What can we expect from the tight end position with no Ryan Izzo? Because he has been clearly their most reliable player at the position. That's not saying a lot about the position, but he's been the most reliable guy this year.
Yeah, that's a bit of a red flag. But he's played 80.5% of the snaps this season, which is the most among all offensive skill players. So, I mean, regardless of the production, that is a massive workload that the Patriots have to replace tonight against the Rams. The good news is, you would think, assuming both are active, you're going to see Asiasi and Keen active for the first time together in their careers. And this could be a bit of a sign toward pointing toward the future. I'm not going to say nearly as dramatic, a very small fraction as dramatic as sort of when Gronk started to come along in week 10 of his rookie season. But you could look at this as maybe a line in the sand, is to say, all right, this is when it all began. And I mean, look, the Patriots have played 12 games this season. They've had a tight end catch at least one pass in seven of them. So, like, these guys aren't going to come in and light the world on fire, I wouldn't think. But if you look at them at least starting to get some playing time, then they can work through some of the issues that rookie tight ends start to have. And, you start the ball rolling toward 2021.
How do they feel about these two guys as blockers? Because I think that, that's really been Izzo's primary contribution. And although it hasn't always been pretty, I think he gives you a level of effort there and a level of at least a consistent baseline of what you can expect. So how do they feel about Keen and Asiasi as blockers, and how have they progressed in that aspect of the game?
Slightly for Keen. I mean, he's still only played, what, two games, I think. But he's, like you said, he's got effort. He's a willing blocker, and he'll do it from a variety of different angles. I mean, you can line him up in the backfield. You can have him submarine the line. You can do a lot of different things with him because of his mobility and athleticism. And again, the effort is always going to be there. Asiasi has been a really strong blocker throughout his football career. I mean, really going back to high school, there's a pretty, I mean, all NFL players were good high school football players. So I don't want to overstate that, but there was kind of a cool story when his high school out in California, I mean, one of the most dominant programs in the country over the last couple decades, they were going for a key win late in the game. I think it was the state championship. And it was like, all right, what are they going to call? The coach calls a timeout. Asiasi goes over there and says, "Hey, look, call this," I can't remember the name of the play. And the play was designed to go to somebody else, but he was the guy who had to make the key block. It sounded like he picked up the defensive end across from him and dragged him about 7 yards down the field. And they got the first down. They won the game. So that's the type of blocker that you're going to get from Asiasi as well.
We're talking with Jeff Howe, The Athletic. Jeff, when we look at this game tonight, we've done plenty of talking about Jared Goff, who you just heard Bill Belichick talking about. Can the Patriots count on getting to the quarterback again tonight? And talk about Josh Uche, who has come on strong here in recent weeks.
Yeah, he's been awesome. And he's already got, I believe, if memory serves, 12 disruptions from the stats that I chart, which is going to put him on pace if he continues the way that he's played over the last four games. He's despite missing about half the season, he's going to be one of the Patriots' three best statistical pass rushers, assuming the role that he's built up for himself maintains over the next four games. Three quarterback hits and a pressure last week. He started the game as basically a third down rusher and probably played more than they intended because the score was so lopsided. But man, he's fun to watch. And you could see it coming back in training camp. You knew the electricity that he had. It's kind of in the story of his football life too. I mean, you go back to high school, he's coming out of South Florida, he was a situational rusher as a sophomore, junior, really started to finally get more of a full-time role late in his junior year and was one of his high school's best pass rushers. Went to the same high school as Josh Jobe from Alabama. And then gets to Michigan, same deal. Couldn't get on the field his freshman, sophomore seasons. Finally becomes a situational pass rusher as a junior and more of a full-time player as he kind of proved himself. But he's an athletic freak. He's a natural pass rusher. I mean, he's probably going to be their best pass rusher next season. But you look forward to seeing the momentum carry out over these next four games because he really has the ability to be a special player.
Yeah, I mean, I like that draft pick, and I know, you know, they were using him, obviously, off the ball in training camp, and he sort of got banged up, had a little bit of a slow start here, but you're absolutely right about him coming on defensively, and I think that's been a big part of what the Patriots have been able to do defensively. On the other side of the ball, you know, offensively, it's been a little bit of a narrow path here, but obviously it's been working. When you look at this moving forward, you know, do you see any signs that they will have a greater passing game than they've had in the past? What did you make of D'Keal Harry's performance against the Chargers and catching that touchdown? Was there something there that leads you to believe that maybe he's going to turn a corner?
Well, I mean, as hard as I know I've been, I'm sure just about all of us have been on Harry. He did everything you want out of him on that play. I mean, he beat a four-time Pro Bowl cornerback, Chris Harris. He used his body, his size, and he made a tough catch, sort of high-pointing a higher throw and making a tough grab through contact. And that's what you want out of him, especially in the red zone. So I don't know. I mean, the consistency has been the biggest issue with Harry. So is that a turning point? The Patriots would love for it to be, but he needs to be more consistent. So again, if he can create and sustain some momentum, then that would be, that would be more encouraging. Just making one catch against the Chargers that team was just, an embarrassment. But with the offensive sustainability, I mean, tonight's going to be tough because the Rams have a really good defense. You know about Aaron Donald, but they've been playing a whole lot better this year than they did last season. And I think they're going to have more of an interesting game plan. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if you see a guy like Jalen Ramsey as a spy on Cam Newton on third down, kind of using him the way that the Seahawks use Jamal Adams. To a lesser extent, the Chiefs with Tyrann Mathieu is trying to take away some of Cam Newton's designed runs. And if he can't do that, you know, how much can he throw the ball down the field, especially on the earlier downs, or how much are they going to need him to do that? So it's going to be interesting because, again, this is a much better defense than the one that we saw a year ago with the Rams when they underperformed. And I think you're going to see something different or a little more creative with Ramsey, and how can the Patriots counter that?
Jeff, do you have a path charted for the Patriots to make the playoffs?
Yeah, they got to win every game and they got to hope a few teams face plant. But I mean, right. Honestly, like,
so they got to win tonight weird. In your mind.
You can't lose again.
I'm with you. I don't think they can lose again. Chris seems to think they can lose tonight and still be in it.
Budgeted loss. Because it's the NFC.
Yeah. You're right about that. But the problem is there's just
everybody else.
Seems over the last few weeks just haven't given them the room that they need. I put together a chart before the Texans game, silly me, assuming they beat the Texans, and they did not. But at that point it was, you had to win all but one of your final games. Okay. That was the loss. But when I charted out the remaining schedules of the teams that they needed to catch and leapfrog, I had them in a pretty extensive tie at 10 wins and they won the tiebreaker. I did the chart again on Sunday night. And now all those teams that they still need to catch, I've got seven teams with at least 11 wins, and the Patriots can only get 10.
Whoa, really?
So,
wow.
Yeah, so there are teams that, I mean, they're beating teams that they're not supposed to. And you definitely need Miami to stumble, and their schedule suggests that they will.
I agree.
Need to make sure that the Raiders don't catch lightning in a bottle, or at least play competently against a softer schedule.
It hurt that the Jets gave the Raiders that win. If the Raiders had lost that game, you're in business.
Right. And then you've got another possibility. If the Patriots win out, the Bills have two scheduled losses. The Dolphins have a brutal schedule. But if the Bills lose, I think it's Pittsburgh and Kansas City the rest of the way. If the Bills lose those two games and you win out and Miami face plants but is able to beat Buffalo in week 17, the Patriots will be division champs.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate the time.
Have a good one.
So how do you like that division champ? That's well beyond anything that I've charted. I've given up on the division. I'm just talking about making as a wild card. And there's also the COVID eighth team thing.
That which you're like rooting for.
I am not rooting for COVID.
You're rooting for COVID.
No, I am not rooting for
COVID. I think every week that goes by, there is even less of a chance of that happening. And it's become abundantly clear that is not going to happen in this league. We'll talk to Paul Perillo about all this. He'll join us from Gillette Stadium. That is coming up next on the Safety Insurance 98.5, the Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network.